If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. We'll use the same main verse that we did this morning, it being a part 2. I'd like to keep the thought here. And I'll tell you this, tonight's message is more in line with the verse than this morning's message was. I used this morning's verse this morning just to kind of set the precedent over this morning and tonight. But hopefully we'll be able to really use our text verse throughout this part of the message. This is really the seed thought for this morning's message, and so this is really the meat. This is what the original idea started off as. So if you'll follow me again tonight, we're going to take a look at the path of the froward, and we'll see if we can get into it. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient." Again, the title of my message, again, this is part 2 of a message entitled, "Inconvenient Christianity." Inconvenient Christianity. Let's pray and we'll dive into part 2. Jesus, thank you so much for the message this morning. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. I ask that you please fill me again tonight. God, please help me translate this truth to your people so that we can live this life godly and holy in the way that we ought to in order to be more like you and to follow the commandments of your book. God, help me to not preach in the flesh. Help me to have the mind of Christ tonight so that I can give to your people what you have for them. Please, God, help me. Help the people as they listen. And help us tonight as we try to be more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we talked pretty thoroughly on the path of the righteous. You may be seated. We talked on the path of the righteous, or the way of the righteous. Those that walk righteously, there's a way that they go. We started off talking about the two relationships. You're either saved or you're lost. Then we went to the mindset. You either have the mind of the flesh, or you'll have the mind of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. You'll either need to walk the way of the righteous, which we saw this morning, or you'll need to, by default, be walking on the road of the froward, or the way of the froward. There's some interesting things that we'll encounter as we walk on the road of the froward that God never intended for us to do. There's a main key element. As this morning we said, the way of the righteous is clear, is plain. There's no obstruction in the path. God has cleared that away for us so that the only thing getting in your way and keeping you from living righteously is yourself. The main thing that you'll encounter in the way of the froward, the thing that makes it so hard doing it the way your flesh wants to do, is stumbling blocks. Things that don't on their face make you fall, but they lead you to a fall. This can be a person, it can be a place, it can be a thing, it can be anything in your life that keeps you from walking circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. So if you come across the stumbling block in your Christian life, know two things. Know one, that stumbling block is put there as an objection to you living righteously. And know two, that if you come across that, you're not on the path of righteousness. Because the road of righteousness has no way for you to go around it. It has no way for you to go over it. So, by default, if you encounter one of these stumbling blocks, you're not on the road of righteousness. You're in the road of the froward. The word froward means those that are contrary. Forward means moving forward. Backward means moving backward. Froward means going contrary to the original set path. If you're saved, God does not want you to be the one that travels these roads. Why? Because you are supposed to be a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Christ. Jesus takes you from, and it's all throughout the Bible, takes you from being a fish, makes you a sheep. Sheep are pretty bad swimmers. And so when a sheep finds himself wanting to become a fish again, you see a lot of struggle that the sheep was never made to be in. It keeps swimming, it keeps swimming, it keeps trying, but it wasn't meant to be there. It was meant to be put on land. There's other similarities of things that you used to be, things that you now are as a new creation in God's Word, that He meant for you to take it out of what you were, to take you away from the old life and set you on a way that is easier for your new you as a new creation to walk on. And so if you are a sheep walking in the road of righteousness, which is what God planned for you, then being a sheep walking in the froward, which God did not plan for you, would be inconvenient. You see that? If you are a new creation who is trying to live for God, but you're doing it in a way that God did not intend you to do, it is inconvenient. The number one thing we see is stumbling blocks. If you look at Romans 14:13, go ahead and turn there. It was interesting, the verse Brother Doggett read at the opening talked about stumbling blocks, if you were listening to it. Talking about how the preaching of Jesus Christ becomes a stumbling block to the Jews. But if you look at Romans 14:13, it says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall." In other words, he's describing stumbling block as an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So Paul is telling the Romans, in his letter to the Romans, he's telling them, your job is not to try to judge one another on their motives. Your job is to walk in such a way that you do not become a stumbling block, or that you do not put a stumbling block in front of another Christian. Your job is not to say, hey, you ought to walk just like I do. Your job is to say, the book says this, and some people aren't there yet. Some people need to grow. But Paul said you need to be careful that your lifestyle that you're living does not cause somebody else who's traveling the road of righteousness or trying to travel the road of righteousness. Your job is to make sure that you're not making an objection to where they fall into sin. Some thoughts about the stumbling blocks. I just kind of noticed I was jotting them down. No, I do not have verses for all of these. But if you're a discerning Christian, you'll see that the elements of these stumbling blocks are very true. They also find you in a place of sin, basically, for lack of a better term. It makes you find yourself where you're disappointing God, you're walking in the flesh, no longer in the Spirit. The first thing that we identify about stumbling blocks is you find stumbling blocks often in poorly lit areas. Poorly lit areas. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. Which means that is the light. Which means areas void of the light is going to be where you find the most stumbling blocks. Why? Because you can't see them. Or you have a hard time seeing them if you can see them. And so you say, I don't know why I keep falling. Well, where are you walking? Are you walking in a spot that's lit up by the Word of God, that's lit up in truth and your experience of God is that of light to your path? Or are you living in a place where God is more of an afterthought? And you're in your life you find yourself reaching out for some kind of stabilization You're taking slower steps because you can't see anything. The wonderful thing about that verse, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, is the road of righteousness, the way of the righteous, is clearly lit. You don't have to worry if you're on the way of the righteous, because you'll see it's lit. And that book right there will confirm that it is lit. So that's why God said, just travel this way. It's easier for you to see. It's easier for you to walk through and to understand. Stumbling blocks, they're not just in poorly lit areas, but they are often found in well-known areas. Why do you think that pastors and preachers all across America who love their congregation so much, who try to invest in their congregation so much, that they pour themselves in the study, or ought to pour themselves in the study, and try to dive into God's Word so that when you come on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you hear them warn you against places, warn you against things, warn you against people that displease God? The reason for that is they know that there's stumbling blocks in those areas. And so their desire is to keep you from stumbling. So they tell you about those well-known areas. We oftentimes make the mistake of Christianity of walking as if we can handle what other people and many other people have failed at. We say, oh, look, I know... You know, they testify of Southern gospel leading to a life of country music. And I know they testify of, you know, CCM leading to a lifestyle of you know, rock and roll and jazz and all these other genres, the filthy genres of the world. But I can handle it. You very well may be able to. But there's way too many people who have gone through those well-known areas of stumbling and fallen. So it is the preacher's job to say, hey, look, don't go over there because you're going to fall. Now, does he know exactly that you're going to fall? No. But the Bible says a wise man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And it is your job as a Christian not to test the limits of your faith, not to push yourself in strength of your faith outside of the bounds of Christianity, but it is to obey the Word of God. And if there is a safety net, stay far away from the safety net. If there is a safe way of passage right next to where it's easy to travel, don't be over here pushing the limits. That's not very wise. And Jesus said, if you want to walk the way of the righteous, you will walk as the wise, not as fools. Fools constantly think that they know more. Despite the mound of evidence. Stumbling blocks are not just found in poorly lit areas. They're not just found in well-known areas. But stumbling blocks are easily found in unknown areas by overly confident travelers of dark places. People who say, look, I am the trail maker. No, Jesus Christ is a trail maker. He said, I am the way. I'm it. I've made the way. Walk in it. So you don't have to go into these. Maybe you don't know if it's bad for you. Maybe you don't know if it's something that'll hurt you. But your overconfidence to assume that it's something that you can make it through is often the very place and the very moment that you fall. You're like, well, I was so strong just a couple seconds ago. Yeah, but you didn't stay on the path. God made you to travel the path. But if you desire to constantly push the boundaries, if you desire to constantly try to chart out new roads, you may stumble. And the pastor's job is to warn you against stumbling. Why? Because if you don't stumble, you will rarely fall. But if you stumble, you may definitely fall. Sure, if you stumble, you might recover without fully falling. But it'd be better to walk in an area where there's no stumbling blocks and not fall than to walk in an area known for having stumbling blocks, stumble, and not fall. God said, I want to make your way easy. So if you walk in a place where I've cleared all the stumbling blocks from, then you won't fall. But meanwhile, us Christians are over here saying, I can handle it. I can do it. And they stumble. They don't always fall right away. But most of them do. Most take that trip and they fall. And they didn't mean to. But they fell. Why? Because their flesh was leading them. Their flesh was in control. We are to travel clearly lit paths. Clearly cleared paths and stumbling block free paths. We are not to find the stumbling blocks in the way of the froward just because, oh, well, nobody's else found that as a stumbling block. I'm going to be the guy who finds all the stumbling blocks, and I'll label them, and I'll say, this guy's a stumbling block, or this girl's a stumbling block, or don't go here, it's a stump. No. Stay away from it. Stay on the path of righteousness. In the way of the righteous, there is no stumbling blocks. God didn't call you to go label something outside. God called you to stay on the path of righteousness, commanded you that you walk in it. In Jeremiah chapter 16, I think it says, this is the good way. Walk ye in it. That's God's command to his Christians that he's bought and paid for. Stumbling blocks are often found near the path, but never on the path. If you'd imagine for me, if you will, God's making the way of the righteous, and he comes across the stumbling block in a straight line, and the path would lead them across the stumbling block. So God shoves that stumbling block off into the way of the froward. Now he has no need to take that stumbling block and hurl it out miles and miles away from the path. He just needs to get it off the path. So often people who are traveling the way of the righteous, that is narrow, that is clearly lit, that is straight, they get uncomfortable in this place and they find peace right next to the path. This is the way God wants them to go. This is the place where they feel comfortable. But what they don't understand is as they walk parallel to the path of righteousness, they are interfering their travel with stumbling blocks that were once on the path that had been moved aside. And so as they travel, they see the man that used to be a pastor. They see the man that used to teach Sunday school. They see the man who used to love God with all his heart. And so he studied the Bible and he comes across to him and he says, I'm a Christian too. And you say, yeah, me too. And then he makes you stumble and fall. So if you don't do that, if you stay on the way of the righteous, God says, this one's clear. But often too many times, this is too uncomfortable, so they slide on over into the path that is right next to it, but it hasn't been cleared. And so they're walking and they're like, I'm going the right way with the right people. Look who's around me. They're walking righteously. And they trip over something. Why am I having such a hard time on this? Because you're not in the way. You're not doing the right thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be falling all the time. And I don't mean, like I said this morning, I don't mean the way of the righteous is so perfect that there is absolutely nothing but good and nothing but sunshine and there's no trouble and there's no hardship on the way of righteousness. I think if you were here this morning, you saw that that's not the case. But there's definitely, if you're trying to walk righteously, if you are using the light of God's word to walk, it is easier to live righteously on the path of righteousness than it is to attempt to live righteously on the path of the froward. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And again, a lot of these points just, you know, keep going. I have several of them, but I really want to try to make it through all of them. Stumbling blocks that have been cleared off the path often provide a surplus of travel hazards while traveling near the path. You might not travel and trip up as much clearly out of the way of righteousness. But where God made a way, he pushed off to the side, and now there's extra stumbling blocks right next to the path. And so, like I said, you're walking next to righteousness, but you find yourself tripping more often. You're like, it didn't used to be this hard before God saved me. No, it was hard, but you were so used to it and so naturally inclined to it that you couldn't notice when you did stumble. Now God's put the Holy Ghost in you to convict you when you fall into sin. And you're like, man, he won't get off my back about this thing. It's like, well, you're not walking the way you were designed to walk in the place God designed you to walk. It's easy to fall into areas known for stumbling blocks. And again, we know that you find stumbling blocks in well-known areas. But it's extremely easy to fall in those areas. In other words, it's easier to fall there than it is to fall on a clear, straight path where there's no obstructions. Not that it's easy to fall because, hey, that fall was easier than if I fell on the clear, straight path. But it happens more often. And it's a lot more the case that you fall into sin than that you actually end up living righteously out there. So God not only made you inclined to walk in righteousness, but he made you a path to walk in righteousness. I'm really trying not to, you know, find in the circular reason as much as I'm really trying to give you this information on stumbling. Because if you understand stumbling blocks and where they are and where they aren't, that will help you not fall. If you don't fall into sin, then you will stay on the path of righteousness. And if you stay in the path of righteousness, you end up pleasing God and not hurting God. And so if you're saved and you're supposed to live righteously, my job is to tell you of some things that you would make you not live righteously. So you can be careful of it. This morning I was telling you, hey, get on the path. This morning, tonight I'm going to try to tell you, get out of the froward path. It's the same message, but it's from two different perspectives. Some Christians are so used to traveling in this path. They're so used to traveling in the path of the froward that falling becomes super easy to them. Not the fall doesn't hurt, but it happens more often. It happens more frequently. Sorry. Stumbling blocks allow you to refocus. That's good, but only after you fall. If you were to walk on something and, you know, a piece of carpet or a piece of mat were sticking up and you tripped over it and you fell. Good news is you're probably looking up, right? You're probably on your back looking up where you should have been looking in the first place. But it's only after you fell. God said, walk in the way of the light where the light can help you focus on the right thing so you don't fall. And I understand it's a wonderful thing when people fall and then they get right. And I'm so happy for those people that do that. I'm so happy for those that find a new refocus in religion. But God said, I never wanted you to fall in the first place. You were supposed to just travel the way of the righteous where there are no stumbling blocks. You were supposed to stay focused and get refocused according to the light, not because you fell and you had no other option. I'm sorry. Light not only helps you focus, stay focused, but light also helps you identify stumbling blocks. You know, they preach all the time out there in the world, judge not that you be not judged. Judge not. You see it everywhere. But if I'm living according to this book, then I can mark them that walk contrary. And I can say, that person's a stumbling block. That place is a stumbling block. I need to avoid that. That's what Paul's saying in 14:13 of Romans. He's saying, don't judge the motive of everything, because you don't know everything. But you can make sure that when you identify a stumbling block, that you don't leave it in the path of somebody. You yourself don't become a stumbling block, or you don't lead them to stumble and fall into sin. So this very light helps identify things that you might stumble on if you don't stay on the path. Like, man, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous place. Don't go over there. And they say, well, how would you know? You only travel in the way of the righteous. It's like, you're right. But this is a light that helps me identify what will make me fall and trip and hurt myself. And it will make you fall and trip and hurt yourself. So I don't want you to do that. So I'm going to use this light to identify the stumbling blocks, and then I'll warn you of them. Light is not only used to help identify the stumbling blocks, but light shows you that you are shows you that you are a stumbling block when you walk in the flesh. Light shines on yourself too. The Bible says it's a lamp to my feet, which means right in front of me. Which means maybe out there, maybe dark, but everybody out there can see me. And as they look on me, they see me because of the light that I'm holding. And it's shining, if you will, on me. That light tells me, hey, you need to get that right. Otherwise, you're going to become a stumbling block for somebody else. So it not only identifies random stumbling blocks out there, but it helps you keep centered from being a stumbling block for somebody else. If you are falling a lot, you might get used to falling. So you'll expect it. If you always try to play the road of I'm trying to find out what this is, you're going to keep falling. I was, right before I came up here, I went on a youth trip and we went out ice skating. It was a lot of fun. I didn't go ice skating, but I went with the teenagers when they went as a chaperone. And one of the... One of the teenage girls, she, in a span of about an hour and 15 minutes, fell 40 times on the ice. It's impressive. I mean, it really is. It's remarkable. But what happened was, with the dog, she went from sliding and falling in an upright position. And I watched her as she started falling more carefully so that it didn't hurt that much. You know, that ice hurts when you hit it. And so she would start kind of bracing herself for the fall when she felt that she was slipping and falling. And far too many times Christians end up, when they feel themselves falling because they do it so often, they start bracing themselves and like, I don't want this to hurt too badly. And they, because they're so used to it, they end up falling more and more often and more frequently, but eventually it gets to the point where it's easier falling than standing upright. It's easier because they're used to it. God didn't want you to get used to falling. The purpose of falling was to smack you and say, look up. Get right. Don't stay the way that you are. But instead they end up, because they will not listen, they end up continuing in the path of the froward, where they easily fall, where they easily stumble, and before you know it, you see them start bracing themselves. They're trying to hang on, and it always takes longer now for them to actually fall and hit rock bottom. But they start bracing themselves. They start getting lower to the ground so it doesn't hurt as much. That's what I was seeing when This teenage girl kept falling and falling and falling and falling. And what used to hurt, and was meant to hurt, because you're not supposed to fall, that's not good ice skating. What was meant to hurt became something that she was used to doing. Which leads me to the next point. If you keep falling, you'll eventually get calloused. You'll eventually work up an appetite to falling where it doesn't hurt so much. And then you keep falling because that's all you've ever known to do and you're so accustomed to it. Why not fall? I'm used to it. Which is the next point. If you keep falling and you fall so much that you get used to it and you fall so much that you get calloused, you might become a spiritual thrill seeker. a spiritual adrenaline junkie who would rather, instead of saying, I don't want to fall, instead of saying, ow, that fall hurt, instead of saying, I don't need to keep falling, instead of all that, they rather take pleasure in the fall. This is the place you're not supposed to get to. This is why God made the fall hurt so much. But rather, we see often Christians, they go from pushing the boundaries to falling so often. You know, those extreme sports is what they call them, the bungee jumping, the parasailing, the parachute jumping. And if you do that, I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying, spiritually, if you understand, they have chosen that way because the high that they get from falling is more pleasurable to them than to choosing to walk the right way and not falling. And so they're not comfortable on the ground. They like being in a free fall state. They like getting right up close and jumping off. And that fall hurts a little less, but it's really about the fall. And it's not about the hit at the bottom. And so they seek pleasure, and they sometimes I've seen Christians take a running start. And they're like, yeah, I know I fell last time. That's what I'm trying to get to. And they run headlong into this fall, and before you know it, they've killed themselves doing something extreme God never meant to do. Sorry. I've been dealing with this cold, and it's going to work its way into my voice one way or another. So hopefully it won't be too much of a pain for you to deal with. But this stumbling block, it's so important that you identify. Because if you can properly identify it, then you won't fall as much. Stumbling blocks are constantly in the way of the froward. But that's not the only thing. Christians who travel unlawfully often travel with the mindset of concupiscence. That mindset of the flesh is different than the mindset of concupiscence. Concupiscence is traveling, thinking that you're traveling lawfully, whilst endeavoring to do what pleases the flesh. I'll be a bus driver. I'll be a van route driver. I'll be a van worker. I'll be a junior church worker if I get noticed for it. I'll be a preacher as long as I get to preach at the big meetings. I'll be a song director if I get to lead the big choirs and lead the big congregations. And all that's fun and good, but their intentions are so that through the lust, it says the lust of concupiscence, they seek after the righteous things with a mindset of saying, my flesh will benefit if I do the right thing. And so their whole mindset, their whole worldview, again, this isn't a mind of the flesh, but it's really an outlook in your mind of flesh. You're staring through what God intended to be done in the mind of Christ. You're staring through the righteous way, and you're like, if I can just do that to where I get a benefit from it, then I'll do it. And it's never, what does the Lord want me to do? It's never, what can I do to help my pastor because I simply seek to serve because I'm a servant. It's never that. It's always, well, you know, Brother Doggy got praised for doing that, and I didn't get a single thing. Brother Garland got noticed for that, and I didn't get noticed at all. And I'm not talking about false humility. I'm talking about they're envious of somebody who gets noticed for doing righteously, regardless of if they were trying to earn something or not. They seek to only please the flesh, and this lust of concupiscence, this this perspective, if you are walking in concupiscence, then you are not walking in righteousness. Which is kind of what I said this morning. If you are constantly seeking to serve God, but you're only doing it to please your flesh, then you're not serving God. You're serving your flesh. God said you can't serve two masters. He said, because your loyalty will be strained. But he said it's impossible to serve two masters, because you'll end up serving one or serving the other. So if you're trying to serve God, but you're serving Him in the flesh, you'll please the flesh every time. But if you're trying to serve God the way God wants you to, you'll please God every time. Last point on concupiscence here. Concupiscence keeps the Christian from transforming their mind into the mind of Christ because they can't fully commit to the separation needed to live righteously. All they seek after is the flesh. They never want to commit to anything because it would make them uncomfortable. This mindset, this perspective, leads them to an attitude of lasciviousness. All of these words that I'm saying here, after the stumbling block, which is bad as well, but all of these words that I'm saying, they're not good things. You don't want a perspective of concupiscence. I hope I showed you that. You don't want a perspective of lasciviousness. These things that they're in your Christian life, they need to be repelled as quickly as possible. Because you can't walk righteously, and you were told to walk righteously. But you can't walk righteously if you're doing it in concupiscence. You can't walk righteously if you've allowed that concupiscence to switch to lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Lasciviousness is instead of being jealous or envious because you can't walk righteously and please the flesh, instead of that mindset, you then switch so easily. Switch. When you're doing the will of God only for men's applause, it is so easy for you to switch then to the lascivious idea, which is, I'm doing sin and it pleases God. Read lasciviousness all throughout your Bible. You know what you'll find? You'll find it in the description of people who seek after the pleasing of the flesh. All they want to do is what they want to do. And they've done it so long, they've been lascivious so long, that they actually have lied to themselves long enough, Andrew, that they believe God has found pleasure in their sin. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. You can't judge me, I'm under grace. You see, when God looks at me, He sees His Son. He doesn't see the sin that I do, He only sees His Son. This is heresy. Because sin is always a reproach to God. Your flesh is always a reproach to God. God didn't tell you walk in grace. He said walk in love. We showed you that this morning. But these people in lascivious mindsets, they've gone from a mindset of concupiscence to an attitude of kind of a pious sin. My sin doesn't hurt God like the lost people's sin. Because my sin is as far away as the east is from west. God doesn't see my sin when He sees me because it was paid for on the cross. No! Every single time you sin, every single time you think something you shouldn't think, say something you shouldn't say, listen to something you shouldn't listen to, every time, God says, ow, I didn't make you to travel that way. I wanted you to travel righteously. And much like when you fall, you get used to falling. And if you get used to falling, you'll start callousing. And then if you start callousing, you'll start finding pleasure in the fall. The next step on this journey, if you continue to walk in a froward way, contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the ways that the preacher tells you, contrary to the things that the Holy Spirit tries to teach you in your own person, if you continue to walk that way, you'll go from living righteously off the path of righteousness and concupiscence, then on to the mindset and the attitude of lasciviousness, and the last stop on this train is reprobation. Read your text first, Romans 1:28. Turn there with me. Romans 1:28. It's a It'll be the last point and we're done. Reprobation, Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God, I've had enough. I don't want to do it your way anymore. Let me do it my way. God says, okay, I'll let you do it your way. Watch what happens. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I don't want to travel this way of righteousness anymore because, you see, it's not comfortable. I don't want to do the things that you told me to do because, you see, I don't get any pleasure in the flesh. I'd rather do some things and say that you take pleasure in them that you don't take pleasure in. And God says, you've gone so far and so long and calloused your heart and you've hardened your heart and you've stiffened your neck so long at my reproof. My rejection of your lifestyle, you've gone your way so long and so far and so dogmatically, I'm done correcting you. In Romans 1, it's about to gear up into some of the worst things you've ever seen in this world. Don't be shocked when you hear somebody who say who's a homosexual or a transgender or somebody who is in a decadent lifestyle of sin. Don't be shocked when they come up to you and say, I used to go to church every Sunday. My dad used to take me to church all the time. Now, the question, and sadly in this day, is we don't know if they even went to the right kind of church. We don't know if they got saved. But if they got saved, I'm still not shocked. Because Romans is written to the Christians. It's not written to the lost. It's shocking to God when saved people act like lost people. It's not shocking to God when lost people act like lost people. They have no other option. And so God, when God sees the Christian who in his arrogance, in his strong-willed hate for the things of God, doesn't want to receive what God has for him anymore. Doesn't want to change his will to fit God's anymore. God says, fine. You do it your way. I'm done telling you no. I'm done taking from you the things that you really just like taking pleasure in. You want pleasure in those things? Fine. You want to do those things that I told you not to do? Fine. And they find themselves in a lifestyle of decadence and sin and hating God. And I'm atheist and I can't stand how you allow Christians to teach in the schools. And I can't stand how you allow the Bible to be read in schools. I can't stand how there's the Ten Commandments in every courtroom across America. I hate that. God says, that is what you wanted. You didn't want God when he was correcting you saying, no, don't do that. No, that's sin, that'll hurt you. You didn't listen to God when he was saying, stop it, stop now. Just thought you'd continue just a little longer. And you find yourself falling and falling and falling until you've fallen so much you enjoy it. You've sinned for so long, it is, watch this, second nature to you. What you were originally created for, Brother Doggett, you don't find any pleasure in that. But you really like doing what pleases you. You really like not going to church when you ought to go to church. You really hate when anybody comes up to you and just says the name Jesus. You hate anything that has to do with God because you've told him no so long. It's all you are is a hatred towards God. Good news is, if you're lost, you can still get saved. All it takes is a seeking after redemption. If you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. You'll go to heaven. Bad news is, every single day, all you do is what's inconvenient. Every single day, you hate your life. Every single day you forget that you're saved. Every single day, all you seek to do is the things that make you feel more pain. And you wonder why the goths cut themselves. You wonder why the homosexuals seek to live in a marriage relationship that wasn't designed for them. You wonder why the transgenders mutilate their bodies in a way that they seek to please what they feel inside. Why would somebody do that? Because they hate God. But I don't think that they were all originally that way. Regardless of trauma, regardless of false teaching, regardless of leaving the righteous path, they didn't start out that way. But God said, if you as a Christian don't walk in the way of righteousness and you seek after the froward things, eventually He'll just say, go ahead, do what you want to do. Eventually He'll say, I don't care anymore. Not that it doesn't hurt Him. Not that He's okay with that lifestyle. But He's done telling you no. And oftentimes, Paul said, I gave Him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, it's pretty powerful that a preacher has the power to do that. But the terrible thing is, they'll go into that lifestyle and they'll never come out because they'll die in that lifestyle. When God saved you, He's so amazing, Brother Garland, what He did when He saved you. He not only saved you out of sin, He not only gave you heaven and gave you the Holy Spirit to walk in this life, but He said if you'll walk in the way of the righteous, if you'll do the right thing that I made you to do, if you'll do it the right way that I told you to do it, then when you get to heaven, I'll give you rewards for it. You mean, God, you're going to save me from that awful pit of hell? You mean, God, you're going to give me a wonderful place in heaven? You mean, God, you're going to give me your Holy Spirit to obey your word, to walk in the way that you set up for me? And then you're going to give me a reward for simply doing what you told me to do? Yeah, I'll do that. That's amazing. And the people who walk so contrary to that word for so long that they become reprobate, the way they hate God, they'll stand up in heaven and they'll watch people, person after person after person, get their rewards for the things that they did righteously. They'll have nothing to show except their salvation, and praise the Lord, they'll be saved. If they made it there, they're saved. They'll never go to hell. That's all they have. God sought to save you, to put you into righteousness so that you enjoy heaven. But you can go contrary to God's word for so long that you'd rather have the most fun you'll ever have throughout eternity right now. I want it now. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to walk by faith and receive those things that are ahead. I want it now. And you're shocked when you read the prodigal son story and he says, I want it now. That's the mindset of the flesh. That's where it leads. That's where every preacher that I know that preaches from the Bible wants you to stay away from. Every preacher that I know that wants you to live righteous and actually cares enough about you to preach the things that are not comfortable to preach, that's what they want you to do because they don't want to see you hurt yourself. And all that's out there is pain and falling, and eventually you walk out so long you don't even know if you're saved anymore. My story, and then I'll close. There was a man of God. He was preaching for a long time. And he eventually left the right way. And years later, I mean, his kids went off the path. I mean, wrecked his home, wrecked him. Years down the road, this Christian reporter went to him. He was going to write something. I can't remember if it was a blog or a podcast or whatever. He went up to him and said, you know, can you talk to me a little bit? And he did. And He said, what is it that you think is in this lifestyle that you've chosen for yourself? What is it that's your thought of Jesus, who Jesus is? What do you think of Jesus? And he says, and luckily he wasn't as reprobate and vile as some of these people out there. He just said, I miss him. I experienced him. Now I miss him. I used to walk with him. I used to talk with him, but now I can't hear him anymore. I can't see his working of grace and blessing in my life. I don't know where he is anymore. I pleased myself too long. You say, I'm not a preacher. It doesn't matter. You can get there too. You can go farther. God doesn't want you to go farther. God doesn't want you to get off the path at all. You say, I'm walking contrary to God's word. Stop now. Get on the road of righteousness before it's too late. You bow your head and close your eyes. Andrew, come to the piano. Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for the warning that you've shown me. Thank you for the instruction that your word has given me. God, I'm asking you, please. Those that are walking contrary, I ask that you show them their need to get right. Those that are walking righteously, I ask that you show them the warning so that they stay walking right and they stay searching after you. God, please. Guard and protect your people. Correct and navigate your people that have chosen to go astray. God, please, be with us as we seek to be more like you and to serve God more. The altar's open. You may use it if necessary.